This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Let's open up the phone lines and welcome Sean Kenny, the Director of Communications for the Republican Party of Virginia, and Danae Jones, the Director of Communications for the Democratic Party of Virginia. They join us on long lines from here and there about the Commonwealth. Good afternoon to you both.
Good afternoon.
Sean, if we can start with you, you recently learned of some breaking news that will break right here in Central Virginia. If you could tell us what you learned, something to do with primaries?
I just got a phone call from a reporter in Richmond who informed me that the fourth District Court of Appeals here in Richmond had ruled that open primaries were indeed unconstitutional. Which is absolutely huge for anybody who's been a resident of Virginia, not just recently, but for the longest time, primaries have always been open in Virginia. That has now been reversed, ruled the other way as unconstitutional.
I'm awestruck at this. And explain this to folks who might not know the exact words we're using here. The primary is the election you have before the general big election. The primary chooses the candidate for a particular party, right?
Precisely. And in Virginia, typically you had an open election, which means that regardless of the party or the organization holding the primary, anybody could vote in that primary. So you had to have Republicans voting in Democratic primaries, Democrats voting in Republican primaries. It really kind of simmered under the surface until probably about this decade, to where it really became a problem sort of elsewhere in Virginia, where Republicans sort of chafed at Democratic involvement in Republican primaries, and then elsewhere in Northern Virginia, where Democrats noticed Republican crossover. Whenever you hear the term crossover, that's precisely what's being talked about, are people from the opposite party interfering with or choosing the candidates for another party. The counter argument to this is that in the United States of America, we do have something known as a right to free association, which means if you are a member of the Ruritans, you can't walk across the street and vote for the president of the Lions Club on a whim. You actually have to be a dues-paying member and be involved in there and participate. And likewise with Republicans and Democrats, Republicans should choose Republican nominees and Democrats should choose Democratic nominees. This had bounced back and forth in the courts for the better part of 3 years at this point. And at the least, at the latest, it appears as if the right to free association is held up.
Wow, this is huge. I mean, this is really huge. As long as I can remember, in Virginia, you've been able to vote in any primary you wanted to, no matter what party you were, but it looks like that may be possibly coming to an end, you think, Sean?
Yeah, if the ruling holds up, whether or not it's going to be challenged further obviously we're just getting the information on it now, but consider, I mean, this is probably the biggest change to Virginia election law since probably the 1964 Civil Rights Voting Act. It's that kind of huge. And for as long as there's been a Virginia, there's probably been some form of open primary system, which is a decision that will have an effect on state parties and the type of representation that we'll have.
Now, from the studies that I've heard about and some that I've read, the open primaries, you would think, if all those Republicans vote in the Democratic primary, you're going to end up with a more right-wing Democrat as a candidate, a more moderate Democrat. But the studies show that you don't see that much crossover as you might think, and it really doesn't have that great of an impact. That said, you know, if I was a Democrat or if I was a Republican, I wouldn't want anybody from the other party voting in my primary.
And that's been the position of the Republican Party of Virginia, at least for many years. As Northern Virginia has become much more Democratic, there's sort of been and Danae will know much more about this and be able to talk about it a lot more lucidly than I would, but at least from the outside, it appears that there's been a shift of opinion as time has gone on, as the demographic changes in Northern Virginia have solidified the Democratic base.
Wow, fascinating. And of course, we're talking with Sean Kenny from the Republican Party and Danae Jones from the Democratic Party. Of course, Sean, this is interesting because the Republican Party of Virginia is, as we speak, the leadership is talking about whether or not they're going to have a convention. Well, they're going to have a convention, but are they going to decide at the convention their candidate for Senate, or are they going to have a primary? And this decision is just days away.
And certainly, and in one of the concerns of State Central here at RPV has always been, you know, not so much what the format is, but what allows Republicans to choose a Republican nominee. I mean, what ameliorates crossover. And with this ruling, if it holds up, and depending on when it applies, again, I haven't read the ruling. I have no idea what the contents say. It could say it doesn't apply until 2009, at which point the point's moot. But it does have an impact as to whether or not we choose to have a convention or a primary, because obviously in a convention format you're better able to control or not necessarily control but manage who gets in and who doesn't in terms of registration signing up, whereas a primary obviously it's much easier for people to go ahead and vote and be able to participate in that process. So this ruling will have an impact on it if it applies to the 2008 election.
Well, I'm certain that this is going to be all over the news in the next few days, and we'll be talking more about it. This is really incredible breaking news. And again, the court is the
it's the 4th District Court of Appeals in Richmond.
Rules that open primary voting in Virginia is unconstitutional. Mm-hmm. That's huge. That's really huge. Let's turn to Danae Jones. I don't know if you had any comments about that in particular. Or?
No, it's like you. I think it's interesting news. I think it's going to be more interesting to see how it plays out. And naturally, I'm really curious, Sean, to find out how it's going to affect you guys, whether or not you will do the primary.
Sure.
And Sean, do you have any type of, can you give us some inside scoop about where the decision might be leaning towards?
Oh, obviously, I wouldn't know
on,
one
Sean.
Way or another.
Come on, Sean.
We have 84 folks that are going to be voting. I will tell you this much, though, is that the members of State Central do look towards anything that ameliorates crossover. Typically a format that determines that is convention, but that doesn't quite lean it towards one candidate or another. As Danae will tell you as well, it's really not about whether or not you have a convention or not. It's the rules of the convention that ultimately govern. So even if RPV does decide to supersize its convention, because we will have to have a convention anyway to elect our new chairman, again, we'll have another step in the process to where the rules of the convention will be met. Obviously, if the primaries are closed, we have a whole new round of conversations to have. But, if one side or another, I would say that State Central is probably leaning more towards a convention. But, you know, of course, now that all gets thrown to the wind.
Right, right. And the reason this, of course, is important is because we're waiting to see if the Republican Party is going to opt which candidate they will choose to run against the likely Democratic candidate, Mark Warner, for U.S. Senate. Next year, and will it be more moderate Congressman Tom Davis or likely more conservative former Governor Jim Gilmore? And we're waiting for that decision. And just a programming note, we have scheduled an interview on this program with Republican Party Chairman and my friend John Hager, who will join us on this program on Monday the 15th, so just immediately following the October 13th decision by the Republican Party Central Committee as to how they will pick their U.S. Senate candidate. We'll talk with John Hager on that Monday and looking forward to it. Danae Jones of the Democratic Party of Virginia, I wanted to get your reaction to recent news out of Northern Virginia that State Senator Jean Marie Devilaitis Davis, who is the wife of Congressman Tom Davis, by the way, small little political world here, she is now running for re-election. She served one term in the Virginia Senate, 6 terms in the House of Delegates. She's running for re-election in the Virginia Senate on the one of her campaign speeches she made recently. She described herself unbelievably, and I have never heard a Republican candidate do this, but she literally described herself as a RINO, R-I-N-O, Republican in name only.
Right.
Now, what does this mean?
I'm not sure what she was thinking, although I would venture a guess. It's what we know about that area and Virginia at large, and that is there is a change. People are first of all, there's a demographic shift, as Sean has pointed out. There is that in Northern Virginia, and you've got people who are really more in line with moderate, get things done Democratic platform than they are with the slate of Republicans that have been hanging on in Richmond as of late. And I think in part, it's an indication that she recognizes that. It's clear that she recognizes that and is distancing herself from her own party, which won't, interestingly enough, make her any more electable for Democrats and those leaning Democrat in Northern Virginia. But it is interesting to watch, and it's interesting to see that that's what she's doing.
Yeah, and it really fascinating. Sean, have you ever heard a Republican candidate running against their own party trying to get reelected?
Well, I mean, just for historians' sake, I think I can remember in front of Senator Chichester's office, there was a rather large picture of a rhino that stayed there for many, many years. So perhaps it's part of the Senate inside baseball that Jean Marie feels comfortable saying that. And, of course, Denae's ringing endorsement of Jean Marie's policies as being middle-of-the-road mainstream. I really appreciate hearing it, but the fact of the matter is that Jean Marie, if you look at her
Sean,
record...
you would be the only one who heard a ringing endorsement.
But Jean Marie's a great senator. She's done a tremendous job for that part of Virginia for many, many years, and I'm absolutely certain that at the end of the day, the citizens of Fairfax County will send her back for another term.
There you go. We're talking with Sean Kenny of the Republican Party of Virginia and Denae Jones of the Democratic Party of Virginia. Denae, any particular elections, any bellwether elections that you'd like to put a spotlight on? We're just a few weeks now away from the big November 6th elections here in Virginia. Lots of local elections and the big elections, of course, for General Assembly. 40 seats in the Senate and 100 in the House of Delegates.
Naturally, I'd like to believe that all of our candidates would be elected, and those who are already serving reelected to the House and Senate. But there are some interesting ones going on. I mean, there's Ralph Northam here in Hampton Roads. There's Paul Nichols up in Northern Virginia as well, along with and Chris Brown is up there too, going against Jeff Frederick, who, speaking of running away from things, Jeff Frederick did a good job a couple of weeks ago in a debate running away from those Republican abuser fees. Those are just some of the more interesting races that are at the top of my head right now.
Right, right. Hey, Sean, any bellwether elections for you? Some things that we should be mindful of that's going on around Virginia?
Look at Bob Fitzsimmons' campaign up in Prince William County as a potential Republican pickup. I think 3 months ago, if the Republican Party of Virginia started talking pickup, I think most skeptical observers from the outside, most objective observers would scoff. Bob Fitzsimmons is showing real strength up there in Prince William County and has a strong potential to take that seat for the Republican Party. Look also just outside the listening area to the 17th District towards Madison County and Greene County. Chris Yack is proving to be surprisingly resilient, even though he's being outspent heavily by Ed Houck and the special interests. So there's one race to pay attention to out in Spotsylvania. And then out towards Hampton Roads and Denae's backyard, you have Hank Giffen, who's running for the House of Delegates. He's running a surprisingly strong campaign, well-funded, great on the issues, a mainstream candidate. Those are three races really to keep your eye on. If Republicans manage to sweep all three, we could be looking at a much more conservative Senate and a solidified House that will continue to put forward some of the positive ideas that we've emerged with over the last few weeks.
Sean Kenny is with the Republican Party of Virginia and Denae Jones with the Democratic Party of Virginia. Denae, fill us in on the tour that your party is sponsoring. What are these details?
Well, we've got our House and Senate caucus members who are on this Change the Assembly tour, and it does two things. First and foremost, it lays out fresh, new, innovative ideas coming from Democrats across the state on how we can continue to move Virginia forward and address some of the critical problems and issues that we're facing in the state. In addition to that, though, it also points out how Republicans have done little more but stood in the way of progress on a number of issues, from transportation to education. So that's going to be going on through the November 6th elections, and it's going to be going on all across the state. So people all over the Commonwealth will hear our message of change, and it's resonating with voters across the state because there's a great deal of dissatisfaction and aggravation with the way things are happening in Richmond and with the gridlock that people readily recognize as Republican gridlock up against really good creative ideas that come from Democrats.
And Sean Kenny with the Republican Party of Virginia wanted to ask you, you had said that you wanted to address the governor just released some budget reductions, the state budget deficit, of course, looming large, ever larger as we approach a budget year in January when the new General Assembly will convene and draw up a 2-year budget.
Sure, and obviously one of the governor's constitutional obligations is to balance the budget and make sure we spend within our means. And this is part of what he executed today, is about $300 million in agency reduction, some of which are things that a lot of Republicans look at and say, gosh, why weren't we doing this before? Regardless of the $300 million to cut, there's still about $300 million in forecasting errors the governor hasn't come up with. We're kind of waiting to see what further ideas come down the pike. One of the key things that the governor hinted at but didn't really step out with his front foot on was taking away from the rainy day fund. And what the rainy day fund is sort of our Virginia surplus that we go ahead and sack away for a rainy day. The governor's trying to convince us that it's raining, and much like on a day like today, you look up in the sky and you don't see too many clouds. Virginia's revenue will still grow by 3% according to the governor's own expectations. The overspending taxpayer resources without consequence just isn't what I would see as good governance. And to make matters a little bit more worse, I know he did announce about $85 million or $86 million in cuts to higher education while simultaneously trying to push forward pre-K funding, which comes in at about roughly $100 million. The only effect that will have, of course, to be raising tuition rates across the Commonwealth, which only pressures middle class families. So, again, a lot of, shell game out of the governor, not a whole lot of solutions, not a whole lot of fresh ideas, something we will certainly have the opportunity to change in 2009.
Danae, any final thoughts from you?
Yeah, I think it's amazing that consistently you'll hear this kind of twist and turn, smokescreen, red herring stuff from Republicans. And it's interesting that it comes when we talk about fiscal policy, because they are supposed to be the party of fiscal conservatism, and it's turning out to be Democrats who are the ones who are being fiscally responsible. And that's been true for the past few years. In fact, even when Governor Warner was in and Democrats worked to balance the books and preserve the AAA bond rating, and still made, understand at that time, the largest investment in public education in Virginia's history, and it was Republicans who were upholding that and standing up against it every step of the way. And I think that we'll see, all indications are that we'll see that again from Republicans as our governor tries to do what's best and keep Virginia financially responsible.
Danae Jones with the Democratic Party of Virginia and Sean Kenny with the Republican Party of Virginia. Thank you both so much. Have a terrific week.
Do the same. Thanks.
Bye.
This interview will be archived in its entirety on the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. SevillePodcast.com.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SevillePodcast.com for more.